Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Marius Ruit. Let's get into the news stories of today, and our first one is about the motion of no confidence in Tshwane Mayor Celeus Brink. So this motion of no confidence was called originally by the ANC after the DA lost the support of its coalition partner Action SA in the Tshwane Council. Now, about an hour ago, the motion of no confidence vote finally went ahead after the ANC and Tshwane received the green light from their national leadership to vote against the DA in the city council. There were a lot of last-minute negotiations between the various parties to maybe try and prop this thing up. The DA had lots of talks in Tshwane to try and see if it could get the ANC to withdraw the motion and perhaps form a new government. That didn't seem to have succeeded, and now Action SA, the EFF and ANC, as well as the Patriotic Alliance, all voted together to remove the DA in Tshwane. The motion, one councillor abstained, 120 voted in favour, 87 voted against. The DA, IFP, Freedom Front Plus and ACDP voted against the motion. They all voted to keep Celeus Brink in power. So it's not clear who's going to be the new mayor of Tshwane, or indeed what the new government is going to look like. Presumably, it's going to at least have the support of Action SA, and presumably it's going to have both the ANC, EFF, and probably also the Patriotic Alliance as well involved in it. Maurice, this has been quite a tumultuous thing. I think, you know, one looks at Action SA's performance in this, and one kind of has to scratch one's head when looking at this from a sort of purely strategic political angle, right? Action SA, I think, had in the sort of post-formation of the Government of National Unity, had actually carved out a niche for itself. It said, we're an opposition party, we have a lot of similarities in policy with the DA, and we're not part of the Government of National Unity. If the Government of National Unity was seen to be selling out or failing by DA voters, Action SA stood to benefit from that. But with them supporting the ANC in Tshwane and effectively removing the DA mayor there, I'm not really sure what this does for them in terms of position and strategy. I don't know. What do you make of all this, Maurice?
Yeah, they were quite vocal before the election, saying that they will never, under any circumstances, ever work with the ANC. And they've gone now and obviously they're working with him in Johannesburg and working with him in Tshwane. And like I've said before on the show, I think for the ANC and Action SA to work together in Joburg makes a bit more sense than it did to in Tshwane. It did seem that things were getting turned around in Tshwane. The finances were starting to get stabilized. The Auditor General said it was the out of all the metros, it had the best, most improved performance. Oh, this was still off a low base and still didn't have a great performance, but considering where it was a couple of months ago, that's quite something. But also, there's a lot of people saying this is a blow for the GNU and all this kind of stuff. I'm not too sure it is. Obviously, a lot still needs to happen. But I think it's a good thing that the GNU agreements of the ANC and the DA and so on is only holding at national level. I think it's quite healthy for them not to filter down to the provinces and to the municipalities and so on. Just before the show, I was looking at the situation in Germany. They also a federal country. They have 16 states. And I was looking at the various compositions of the various governments in those states. So currently in Germany, it's the Social Democrats who govern with the Free Democrats and the Greens. But in lots of states, the Social Democrats will be in opposition and then the government will be made up of the Greens and the Christian Democrats, for example, or the Christian Democrats who are in opposition nationally will govern a state in a coalition with the Social Democrats. So I think it's pretty healthy to have these various different arrangements at local or at provincial level compared to national level. So, but overall, I do think this is pretty bad for Tshwane. I feel sorry for the people of Tshwane. They're going to start getting governance that people have been having in Joburg and Ekurhuleni probably pretty soon. And yeah, it reminds me of seeing what's going to happen with Action SA. I can't see that this is going to be good for them. I mean, they had a pretty poor election now in May, and I don't know if this is going to help them going into the 2026 local guns election. Of course, a lot can still happen, but this does seem to have been a bit of a strategic error. And just looking at the kinds of things Herman Mashaba has been saying on social media, it's been, you don't use a term like unhinged, but maybe that is what you should be saying.
Right, I mean, you know, to a lot of the action essay support, particularly in May this time, they managed to get some support, I think, in South Africa's townships, but they got quite a lot of support, I think, from actually fairly right-leaning suburban South Africans. In that was my impression anyway in this election, and I'm sure that those voters are not going to be particularly pleased that, for example, according to some councillors there, the Action SA joined in the ANC and EFF were singing pro-socialism songs after they won the motion of no confidence, which is, yeah, not great for the party's image, I think, particularly with the type of voters it seems to be trying to appeal to. Just a kind of bizarre event in general. You know, the very interesting thing here is going to be, we talked about this yesterday, but the ANC and Ekurhuleni is actually very upbeat about its talks with the DA. Now, that's because they have a very bad relationship with the EFF and Ekurhuleni. And Marius, it remains to be seen, you know, whether some kind of government will be formed there. I don't really see how these local government arrangements between the DA and ANC would work, considering the DA tends to blame the ANC for pretty much everything that's gone wrong in the local government systems. And, you know, a lot of it is to do with patronage networks and management rather than policy per se. But I don't know, Marius, you're a resident of Ekurhuleni. Do you have any thoughts on maybe a DA-ANC coalition in Ekurhuleni?
Yeah, look, as I say, I think each municipality or town must take these kinds of things as they come. I don't think they should just do what's happening at national level. But from what's been happening in Ekurhuleni, it does seem that the DA-ANC coalition could work. I was speaking to a DA councillor, Jan Ekurhuleni, a little while ago, and he was saying the new mayor of Ekurhuleni, sorry, his name escapes me now, it's pretty bad, and the new MMC for finance, he said they're both pretty solid guys, guys that, that you seem that could be pretty trustworthy and had a handle on, actually wanted to get the city working again. So if you, I think there's also going to be kinds of things about personality as well. I think part of the reason why the things in Gauteng are but being so topsy-turvy is because of somebody like Phanyaza Lesufi is in charge of the ANC in Gauteng. And we know he's much more close to the EFF than, say, President Cyril Ramaphosa, for example. So I think it also comes down a lot to personality. And so, for example, in Ekurhuleni, if the DA feels DA is a guy that they can work with in terms of the ANC person, then they're going to go ahead. But if they feel in Johannesburg and Tshwane that's not quite the case and it makes more sense for them to stay in opposition, then I think that's what should happen. And as I say, I think that it's pretty healthy to have very different setups for the different municipalities and so on.
Definitely. All right, let's move on to our next story. And this is about a neighbor who we don't talk about that often, which is Eswatini, the kingdom of Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland, a country that is ruled almost entirely by its absolute monarch, King Mswati, who, in theory, there's a parliament, and in theory, there's some sort of like elections to this parliament, but in practice, these bodies have absolutely no power. They only are there to advise the king. And for a long time, they've had a democratic movement which has been fairly, you know, active, I think, but it tends to have been quite aggressively repressed by Eswatini's police forces whenever they've tried to protest. There have been a number of protests over the years which don't seem to have gone anywhere. And they're the leader of the largest anti sort of monarchy or anti-king movement in Eswatini is the People's United Democratic Movement, whose leader has been living in exile in South Africa in Pretoria after his house in 2022 was set alight by people, possibly what he claims was an attack by government agents. Well, there's news today that apparently he was attacked and poisoned in his home by, and this is from the statement, and the details here are a little bit weird, by an unnamed quote unquote young boy who he said was quote an agent of evil intent by the Swazi government. He's apparently in a stable condition in ICU. The Swazi government, for its part, has completely denied any involvement in this, but I don't know, Marius, what do you make of this? You know, would you put it past the Swazi government to try something like this?
Yeah, I just think you spot on with saying this is pretty weird. Well, I mean, why do you have a young boy who's presumably not related to you in your house at midnight and also stealing your cell phones and so on and poisoning you? So all the story all sounds pretty fishy, but that said, I definitely wouldn't put it past the Swazi government. I think it was earlier this year, there were, I think it was protests around something to do with the higher education, and there were crackdowns by the Swazi police. I saw some footage on social media. It was pretty scary where you saw these guys with riot shields and so on going into people's houses and dragging people out. They also killed a pro-democracy campaigner in 2022. So yeah, this kind of thing definitely doesn't surprise me, but this is also one thing the South African government needs to do some introspection. Depending on which side you fall on with the whole conflict in Gaza, they're doing a lot for, they're standing up for the rights of Palestinians, pushing back against what they think is, taking away people's rights there and so on. But right on our borders, I mean, literally on our doorstep, we have an absolute monarchy. And we obviously we would have a lot of say, or we would have a lot of clout in Swaziland. I mean, I'd guess the Swazi economy is probably, if it was a South African province, would probably be the size of the Northern Cape's economy or something. We could easily put pressure on them to start looking to reforming in a whole bunch of ways. We could blockade them. We could, say we're going to not give them that SACU grant. There's all kinds of things that our government could do. But the South African government, it's been. Its record on who it supports when it comes to human rights has always been pretty patchy. We know how Thabo Mbeki's government stood up for Robert Mugabe and the ZANU-PF regime there, and the ANC has never done, and since then they have never stood up against ZANU-PF or what's happening in Zimbabwe. Same thing in Swaziland or Eswatini. Mozambique, while they're nominally a democracy, they've also had some pretty dodgy stuff happening, also leading up to an election there, I think next month, where also people have been shot and so on, who've protested against the government. And our government's been absolutely dead quiet. And this is definitely something where we probably have more influence over the Swazi government and the Zimbabwean government than we do over the Israeli government. And if we really want to make a difference and we're worried about people's human rights, that's where we should actually be focusing on what's happening in Eswatini and Zimbabwe, for example.
Yes, no, exactly. I think it really undermines the claim that the ANC is pursuing a moral, they often describe as a human rights focused or moral foreign policy. But when it comes down to human rights abuses on our borders with countries that are completely dependent on trade with us, on political protection from our government, all those sort of things. It's even stranger, of course, because COSATU is actually been calling for the ANC to take action against the government in Eswatini for a very long time, and the ANC seems to kind of most of the time bend over for every single stupid policy suggestion COSATU has, except when it comes to defending human rights in Eswatini. Then suddenly there's a big disagreement. I don't know. Any final thoughts, Maurice?
No, but yeah, I think this is. I know things like foreign relations is an element of real politic, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be like, say, for example, not saying anything about Chinese human rights abuses because they're such a big economic power. I mean, when it comes to somewhere like Eswatini, there's really no downside, I think, for our government to condemn what the Swazi monarchy has been doing to people there, and at least trying to push them in to at least start to have some kind of reforms to become a bit more democratic and let the people there have a bit more of a say in how the country's run.
Definitely. All right, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. That's a wrap.